When I was an Army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. Reading from Exodus 15:22 to 16:10. Then Moses had Israel leave the Reed Sea and go out into Shur Desert. They traveled for 3 days in the desert and found no water. When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink Marah's water because it was bitter. That is why it is called Marah. The people complained against Moses, "What will we drink?" Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord pointed out a tree to him. He threw it in the water, and the water became sweet. The Lord made a regulation and a ruling there, and there he tested them. The Lord said, "If you are careful to obey the Lord your God, do what God thinks is right, pay attention to his commandments, and keep all his regulations, then I won't bring on you any of the diseases that I brought on the Egyptians. I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. They camped there by the water. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the Sin Desert, which is located between Elim and Sinai. They set out on the 15th day of the second month after they had left the land of Egypt. The whole Israelite community complained against Moses and Aaron in the desert. The Israelites said to them, "Oh, how we wish that the Lord had just put us to death while we were still in the land of Egypt. There we could sit by the pots cooking meat and eat our fill of bread. Instead, you brought us out into this desert to starve this whole assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to make bread rain down from the sky for you. The people will go out each day and will gather just enough for that day. In this way, I'll test them to see whether or not they follow my instruction. On the sixth day, when they measure out what they have collected, it will be twice as much as they collected on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "This evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the Lord's glorious presence, because your complaints against the Lord have been heard. Who are we? Why blame us?" Moses continued, "The Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord heard the complaints you made against him. Who are we? Your complaints aren't against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole Israelite community, come near to the Lord, because he's heard your complaints." As Aaron spoke to the whole Israelite community, they turned to look toward the desert, and just then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so begins the ongoing saga of the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years. They haven't quite gotten the judgment yet that they're going to have to wander that long, but you can see the seeds being sown of the consequences of this kind of rebellion against Moses and ultimately the Lord that delivered them from Egypt with the plagues. They have this bitter water, the bitter water that is made sweet with this tree that is put into the water. Whether this is what we would call a miracle, or this is some sort of remedy that works and worked back then, it's hard to say when we are talking about this time period what is actually going on, but it does work, and they have enough water. The people of God are living on the knife edge of survival. They have just escaped the harrowing fleeing of Egypt after these plagues. They've escaped Pharaoh's army. They are not doing well. They certainly are thankful they're alive, but they have reached a point that many people reach once they're kind of over the big crisis, and that is the doldrums, the boringness of being taken care of by God. That is the problem of trauma, is that after it's over, there is often a sort of longing for excitement, for thrill, for something to keep your blood flowing and keeping on alert. And normal life just doesn't seem to quite be that exciting or cut it for many trauma survivors. And here we see perhaps this pattern playing out in the Israelite people. They now are thinking about things like water and bread and meat, whereas just a few days before, they are fleeing across a magically parted sea from the biggest army in the world that is then destroyed. And they watch the bodies of the horses and people washing up on shore. And they see the victory of God and they sing about it. And then they're back to water, bread, meat, water, bread, meat, water, bread, meat. And that just doesn't have a lot of spark in it. They get out to this other desert and they blame Moses. They say, "You've brought us out here to starve to death. You've brought us out here to starve us to death." Now, I don't think they really believe that. I don't think they really believe that Moses had methodically planned this entire expedition just to starve all these people to death. But it is not their rational minds that are speaking in this moment. It is their, well, we all have this part of our mind and heart that is still a second grader, still a child. Still, when we get upset and uncomfortable, we start saying stuff. And we all do it. We do it to different degrees. And this blame and over-the-top hyperbole about their condition is very childish, but also relatable in the way we feel and express our complaints when we're feeling trapped in this way. Oh, that we could go back to Egypt and sit by our cooking pots and eat enough bread. That is one thing they had enough of in Egypt. They had enough food, even though they were enslaved, even though Pharaoh was trying to exterminate their boy babies in the Nile River with the crocodiles. They forgot about that part. We have selective memories. Whenever we think about going back to something that maybe wasn't good for us, whenever we are tempted with a new situation that'll be so much better than the one we're in, whenever we're tempted with nostalgia, this what used to be called a mental illness, nostalgia, a diagnosable thing, turned into sort of a sentimental reminiscence of life before whatever we're dealing with now. But it still is pretty debilitating. And if we only select the good memories from our memory bank, all those past situations that God delivered us from look pretty good. We don't always remember the taskmasters and the straw and bricks and the enslavement and the feeling like you're never going to make it and you're never going to get out of here. And even the blocking of the promise of God. The people of God in Egypt forget most of their stories. They forget God's deliverance and the covenant God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They forget all of that as they are trying to make it in Egypt. And now they want to go back just because they had enough food. This is how we all are. We're not any different than these people. And so God reveals God's self to them in this glorious presence of cloud, their promised bread, and they're told that I've heard their complaints. God says, I've heard the complaint, and they're going to get food. The manna and the quail are coming. We're going to take care of that. But we also have to address the deeper problem, is that they're not complaining about Moses. This is what the Lord says to them. They are complaining about God and God's deliverance. And I think it is okay to complain to God. We certainly encourage that. The example of Scripture, the example of our faith is that we wrestle with God, we talk to God, we complain to God, we share our feelings with God. But we must remember that whenever we complain about pretty much most of the circumstances of our life, ultimately we are complaining about God on some level. In that, it is a completely useless thing to do. And ultimately, God has put us in the places we are in for some reason. It doesn't mean it's a good thing always. It wasn't a good thing for these people to be hungry and drink the bitter water. Those were not good things. But God had put them there for some reason. And believing that was the thing that got them through, ultimately saying that, yes, we will follow you into the wilderness, God. We will follow Moses and Aaron in this venture because we think they follow you. And we're going to keep going in this journey to the promised land. And we have to do that too with God when the going is tough and difficult. Remembering that we've been put here by God for some reason. And that doesn't mean that God won't get us out of that situation or that we don't need to stay there in some sort of awful thing. I'm not saying we just have to never complain or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that so much of our complaining is complaining about the human condition, that we are limited creatures with limited options who must depend on each other and God for everything we do. And that is a predicament that is not easy. And we can complain about it all we want, but ultimately it is the human condition, and we are here with God. And God is still walking with us. God's presence, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night are still with us, and we will make it. Amen.